We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
From Luke 2, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. We hear that at Christmas, on Christmas Eve each year, as a part of the Christmas season. It becomes very traditional for most of us, but did you know that's not the end of the Christmas story? That as we read the Bible, it goes on from verse 20. There in Luke 2. That's why there are 12 days in Christmas. It is actually a Christmas season on the church calendar that extends from sunset on Christmas Eve all the way to January the 6th, which we call Epiphany, which is when we celebrate the fact that the Magi, the wise men, did come to visit the Christ child and brought their gifts of frankincense and myrrh and gold. And don't get excited. Don't run, get your magi out of the other room where Marty told you and bring them back to the manger, because all it is the day we celebrate. It doesn't say what year that they actually came. But the Christmas season extends beyond traditionally what we might consider to be Christmas. The Christmas story continues. And what we find in the gospel lesson today is Jesus and Mary going up to the temple in Jerusalem. They probably would have been regulars in temple. They might even have come to church on Christmas, on New Year's Eve, just like you have. And I wondered as I read those scriptures if perhaps this was the time that Jesus and Mary began to realize how special this gift that they had received in this Christ child. And I can't help but wonder if they were filled with awe yet. After all, this was a Savior, Emmanuel, that had been promised to the Israelite people for hundreds of years, and here he was. Could it really be true? Mary and Joseph were very devout Jews, and they began baby Jesus' life by following the Jewish laws for a newborn. They load Jesus up in whatever possessions they might have had with them, and they take off for the temple in Jerusalem. We read about that in the following verses in Luke 2. We begin with verse 21. And on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. It gets a little technical, and you start talking about the law and what was required of Mary and Joseph and any newborn child. There were several rituals that were to be followed in the law following a birth. The first of all was, just as we heard last week and again from the scriptures, that on the eighth day Jesus would have been circumcised and he would have been given his name by Joseph. Secondly, Mary would have had to go through a purification process that lasted 40 days. Anytime a male child was born, the mother had to wait 40 days in order to be considered able to go back to the temple. It was a male-dominated society, okay? But she would have had to wait 40 days, and when they got there, they would have had to sacrifice a pigeon or a dove. If the more wealthy people might have brought a goat to be sacrificed. And thirdly, the parents came there to the temple to acknowledge that this was a child of God, not just what happened with Jesus, but with any child that was born. The Jews recognized that it is only God that can give life. And so they would come to the temple and again make a sacrifice in order to be able to claim that child as their own. All these ceremonies were a part of the Jewish law, and any good Jews would have followed the same thing. And I guess I'm emphasizing some of this point just so that you understand that Jesus was indeed born a Jew and lived under the law, and that he conformed to this law. He didn't come to replace the law, as you've heard over and over. Well, that's what this means. That Jesus came to fulfill those obligations of the law and was raised under those. He went through the circumcision and the dedication and the purification. Galatians 4:4 tells us that God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who also lived under the law. And all of this attention to the law points out that Jesus, though he was fully God, was also born fully human, just like you and I were. All of that leads to another sermon or 12, but we'll hold some of those for another day. What it means is, all these passages tell us that Jesus was a real, live baby boy. He would have played with his parents and he would have laughed. He'd have gotten hungry and he would have ate real food and he would have fallen down and he would have skinned his knee and he would have cried his little eyes out. While he is God, he was also just as human as you and I are. And he would have experienced and felt all the same things that we go through. So, 40 days after his birth, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple. It was a time of purification, is what the Jewish people looked at it as. But today we consider that to be sort of the culmination of the Christmas story. And it sort of sews everything up for us as we finish that story and we begin to look forward to Jesus' ministry and life as he begins to get started with what his life becomes all about. And again, I wonder what was going through Joseph and Mary's minds. Do you think by now they'd begun to see how special this child was, or at least to know something was different about him? Once they got to the temple there in Jerusalem, they were greeted by an elderly gentleman. The Bible calls him an old man. But his name was Simeon. And there are several Simeons in the Bible, but this one is unique in that he is described, well, as an elder statesman. He had stayed at the temple. He studied and taught and was generally well regarded there at the temple. He's identified as an elderly, righteous man. And the Greek word used is diakonos, which indicates to us that he was a man of high moral standards and that he was very just and truthful. It's the same word that was used in Greek a few passages before to describe Joseph. Well, Simeon would have been a fixture there in the temple. You could have gone almost any day and found him there, studying the scriptures and waiting for the coming of the Messiah. He had been waiting and praying for years and years for a gift from God. You see, we don't really know when or where, but Simeon had been visited by the Holy Spirit and promised that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah come. And that's what he prayed for. That was his wish, was to be able to hold that Christ child in his arms. And this had gone on so long that he was now an elder statesman among the Jews. When Jesus was brought into the temple to do all the things that were required of a newborn child, they met Simeon, who took Jesus into his arms, and he began to praise God and immediately began to pray and prophesy about Jesus' future. You see, he knew that his one wish had been granted, that he had received that gift from God, that it had been delivered. And he knew now that the long-awaited Messiah had come. The prayer that Simeon offered is captured in Luke 2. And that's just what Matt and Jimmy were singing for us during the offering. Let me share that with you. Sovereign God, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people. A light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people, Israel. This prayer, these words from Simeon, these verses of Scripture have been preserved as a liturgy in the church in Latin, Nunc Dimittas, Dementis, Dementis, there we go. Be sure we get this right. But in English, it means, I now dismiss, or probably in the common street language, if we were talking, it says, okay, God, I'm ready to die now. It's been preserved in Latin and is used as a liturgy by the Catholic Church, the Anglican Church, the Lutheran, and some of the other divisions of Christianity as an even song. As they pray. Jimmy and Matt sang this as a special favor for me today. I didn't have the benefit of listening to them while I was preparing, so I went through and listened to a number of versions of this same thing. I would encourage you to do that as well. I found a Gregorian chant of these same words that were inspirational and provided a quiet time for me to pray. If you'll go back to our website, you can listen to Matt and Jimmy sing, and perhaps you could do the same thing. Anyway, back to the story. Simeon's prayer did a couple of things. First of all, it declared that Jesus was a gift from God, that Jesus was indeed the Savior of the world. And this was the very first time that we know of in public that Jesus was declared to be the Messiah, that he would be the light of the world, as the scriptures put it. For the first time, Simeon says, I have seen your salvation. He goes on to say that Christ had come as a gift for the entire world. You see, occasionally, even though it was not scriptural, the Israelites would begin to think that perhaps this Messiah was coming just for their people. Isaiah 49 says something just the opposite of that. It says, I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, which is what Simeon is quoting. And it tells us that no, that Christ had come for the whole world, which includes both you and I. That this long-awaited Messiah that we read about in the scriptures over and over again, that we know that was brought to save each and one of us and to forgive us for our sins. And we know that this Messiah, who was fully God and fully human, a God that can understand all that happens in our lives, can understand the pain that we go through and the joy that we celebrate with one another, particularly at Christmas time. That this God that Simeon is talking about can understand us and has come for you and for me. And you see, that's the good news. That when Christ came down, that he came down for each and every one of us. And that's my prayer today, is that of all the gifts you may have received at Christmas, that this is the gift that might change your life forever, and that you might take this as Christmas has come down for you. And that as we leave here today, that you might take this gift that you have received, this gift that has changed your life, that you might take it with you as you leave here today and share that with the rest of the world, that you might become, like Jesus, the light of the world. Amen. Let's stand and join hands as we share in the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And may you leave here today in the grace and the love and the hope of Jesus Christ as you go out and become this light in the world. And as you go, may you know, may you remember, may you never forget that no matter how we stumble, that Christ stands there on the steps waiting for us and expects us to be loving for the world. And if you leave here today loving the world, then you too will be that light. Amen. Happy New Year and Merry Christmas.